Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
In full swing for cuffing season, but apparently that doesn't apply to one team's QB boo. It's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm not proud of that one, by the way. I don't say boo. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Agumake. Like,
it's fine to say boo.
Do you say boo? Oh, well, I guess if you were Usher boo. In the context of that song, my boo, I feel like that plays.
Yeah, I feel like boo is fine. I say boo. Like, you're my boo. Like, everybody's my boo. You know what I mean?
But I feel like it rolls off the tongue a little better for you. Like, it sounds cooler coming from you. I don't know if I can, like, pass off boo quite as deftly here.
The melanin helps.
it's a definite multiplier in this situation here. But, Jhené, no situation, and I mentioned cuffing season we talked so much about yesterday, not in full force. Maybe this has something to do with the temperature in South Beach, because as we're getting ready to talk about a number of things, including the disarray in the Dallas Cowboys right now after their loss in the back half of Monday Night Football last night, a member of the villainous Houston Astros speaking out after a bit of a hiatus here as the World Series gets set to begin tonight. We got a changing of the guard going on in Miami. Tua Tagovailoa, the Dolphins' top draft pick, tank for Tua, realized in full force. Name the starter for the Miami Dolphins going forward over Ryan Fitzpatrick. Jhené, were you surprised at all for this? Because we saw him get that little bit of action in their last game in mop-up duty, but now to be named the guy going forward when Ryan Fitzpatrick had been playing pretty well seems a bit shocking.
Yeah, I think this was a product of peer pressure. Just because you look to your left and you see Justin Herbert, who ranks 5th in yards per game, 9th in passer rating, and 10th in touchdown percentage, who stepped into a situation last minute, which we all laughed at, and is succeeding, you know, considering that he's played against Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Drew Brees already. Even though those are losses, you know, he was able to compete. You look to your right and you see Joe Burrow. Now, we know that he can't just solve all of Cincinnati's problems in one go. But yeah, he's talented and he's playing now. I feel like the momentum that Fitzpatrick had or has to this day maybe takes a second seat to the development when you see what young quarterbacks are doing around the league.
Yeah, and Jhené, it's always the question here. And we thought it would be interesting this year with fewer fans involved in the situation, because as much as I always think if you're making decisions based on what the crowd's telling you, you're probably making losing decisions in this effort. But we know the draw was going to be there for this guy based on everything people saw coming out, based on the whole Tank for Tua campaign. And he was supposed to be this exciting, game-changing prospect, and they got a little taste of it, and now they get the whole thing. Here's our own Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider on SportsCenter, talking about why Brian Flores, the Dolphins head coach, went with this decision right now.
Tua clearly has made a mark on that team. Now, again, I think it's a perfect situation in the sense that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the perfect mentor, perfect guy to learn from. And when I spoke to him a couple of weeks back, he talked about how impressive Tua was. And you could just see how accurate he was with his passes, the type of character he had. And the Dolphins feel like there's no use in waiting.
So, Jhené, my question with this is, if that was the case and he had made such an impact on this team, why now? We look at the luxury the Dolphins had had with Ryan Fitzpatrick and the way that he'd been playing. Over Ryan Fitzpatrick's last 16 games, 5th in total QBR in the NFL, 2nd in passing yards, 6th in passing touchdowns, on a team that we know is not really built for long-term success. He's the bridge guy, no doubt, in this situation. But you had a quarterback that is 300 and I believe 51 days removed from a catastrophic hip injury playing against Mississippi State in college, one that kind of set in motion a different turn of events for Tua. I'm not sure why now is that moment based on what we've seen. And again, they see more on the inside than we do on the outside, Jhené, but I'm always of the ilk, and if you have this luxury on a team that ain't going to be good this year, I don't know why you're forcing him into the situation now.
Well, if you look at the division, they put themselves in a pretty decent position. And so you would wonder, why would they sort of jeopardize that for swapping out quarterbacks? But the only answer that I can sort of come on to is, if they're really serious about competing, we know that the goal is to have Tua's ceiling being higher than Ryan Fitzpatrick's for the long term, for the franchise. You talked about it. It was tank for Tua. But again, you're right, because it's why now? Don't you usually want to wait? Maybe there's a loss or two before you make that switch, buy him a little bit more time. I thought it was also, speaking of timing, even more interesting that, all right, they know what they're doing. They're rolling him out the week that he has a bye, so he has a longer stretch for preparation. But who are you playing? You playing the Rams? Oof. Like, that's not going to be easy for him to, you know, you sometimes think that hopefully it'd be a team that you know, okay, maybe it's a little suspect on the other side. No, he's going right into the Lion's Den, and maybe that just is a message that we are here to compete, and we want our ceiling to be fulfilled even if we start now.
Tua being named the starter in Miami's making moves, brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports. And Shanae, I'm glad you brought that up, because part of the reason I thought this year is such a great bridge year for Tua, where you've got Ryan Fitzpatrick playing football that's outside of his normal skill set. Ryan Fitzpatrick's a pretty honest and self-aware guy in a lot of these instances. And he's also playing against an offensive line that is young and not very good right now, and getting worse as it gets injured. One of their top picks, Austin Jackson, tackle out of USC, just got put on IR for a few weeks in here. They're starting Solomon Kinley, a rookie guard out of Georgia. Teddy Karras is a guy they picked up in free agency who was a backup lineman for the Patriots not too long ago. This is an offensive line that, by our metrics here at ESPN, we talk about that pass block win rate, your ability to hold blocks for longer than 2.5 seconds, 30th in the league in pass block win rate. We talk about what run block win rate, similar metric for the run game, 29th in that. So it's a group that is young and now banged up in front of a quarterback coming off of an injury that you're looking to have success. How exactly? I'm not 100% sure on that, Shanae. And again, we talk about your history coming off of injury all the time, but the mental hurdle is always, for me, the hardest one to clear for a lot of guys. And in these instances now, you're not just going in with a little bit of fire. You're potentially going into an inferno with Aaron Donald the following week coming out of this bye, and then 2 weeks later, Joey Bosa and the Chargers.
Can you give yourself some snaps, please, really quick?
Oh, real quick, yeah.
I just want to give you slaps, because anytime you go into your offensive line bag, I feel like we should really appreciate it. But you're absolutely correct, because, yeah, when you're dealing with an injury, the only way to defeat it is by going out there and taking that first hit. We talked about that with Alex Smith, which is why we were so excited for him. I think we're all excited for Tua, but also we didn't want to do this at the expense of Ryan Fitzpatrick just because of what he was able to do. Like, you are getting your team to win and also compete in a division where, like, there's prime opportunity. And so, yeah, the timing is a bit of a question. But, you know, Junior, I'm just wondering, how do you see this really playing out? Do you think that this is a high risk, high reward move, or do you think that this is something that they could possibly regret?
I think it's something they could possibly regret. And I don't even think in the injury term, because I don't even want to speak that stuff into existence. What Tua has done and him getting back on the field the other day was a remarkable moment. We saw the pictures posted of him after the game going out and sitting back on the field, sort of relishing his first snaps since that injury, because none of that's guaranteed when you suffer an injury like the one he had that was more akin to a car crash than a football injury. But I look at this now from your development as a quarterback. Do you really want him learning under fire behind a line that's young and mismatched at this point in a time right now where you're getting ready to go up against some better defenses? To me, that foundation early in a quarterback's career, I know there are plenty of examples of guys like Peyton Manning throwing a bunch of interceptions and having difficulties their rookie years, but I still think, especially with all these, and again, you had a starter that was playing good football for you in the meantime, rushing it along seems interesting. But you mentioned at Ryan Fitzpatrick's expense. He was on the Adam Schefter podcast and, again, was pretty honest about the fact that he knows and knew he was on borrowed time in this situation.
I mean, things have shifted as my career has gone on, but I know, you know, in the later years, I've accomplished so many more things than I ever thought I would. So this is all, you know, this has all just been icing on the cake for me. So it's a pretty freeing feeling for me to be able to go out there and play. And I have the responsibilities of leading a football team and doing all those things, but I also am on borrowed time, you know, and I'm not even supposed to be here in terms of the career that was written for me versus the career that I've actually had. So I can kind of play freely out there and enjoy myself and have fun and try to lift my teammates up. And That's been a huge part of the experience for me, is the joy that I get on the football field and the joy that I get every single team that I've been on, whether it's been for a year or 4 years, just those relationships that I've been able to forge and how much fun we've had on the field together.
And I think Ryan's been a great asset to whatever quarterback room he's been in for a lot of these reasons, because he understands the reality of the situation and understands and takes very seriously the mentor role he has for Tua in this
spot. How do you not love that guy?
Oh, big beard, lovable heart, Harvard guy. He's got all the makings of like a movie storybook quarterback, right?
Yes, yes.
And again, fits in with the nerd element around the stove.
Absolutely, Stanford, that's
Notre
exactly.
Dame,
yep.
Harvard, welcome in this house. So we'll get into plenty more reaction from that later. We'll talk to Stu Gotts from the Dan Le Batard Show, take the temperature down on South Beach and see if people really were crying out for Tua Tagovailoa in this way in the streets. But coming up next, did we watch someone get paid without stepping foot on a field yesterday? We'll get into that. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In about 10 minutes, going to digest more of the weekend's NFL action with former pro Cliff Avril. Going to join us here. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star, Chinay Ogwumike here. And Chinay, we had a fun day yesterday. We had 5 o'clock football. We had a Monday Night Football doubleheader. The Kansas City Chiefs took down the Buffalo Bills in the first portion of that game. And then things got pretty interesting in the nightcap. Kyler Murray took his undefeated record in Jerry World in Dallas, Texas, where, remember, Kyler had been a high school star in Texas and had done so well out there, in to face the Dallas Cowboys that were trotting out Andy Dalton for the first time. And man, it got ugly in about every way it possibly could have for the Dallas Cowboys. And Chinay, while my mind immediately went to one person that wasn't on the field, I'm curious, as someone who lives in the great state of Texas and knows how much pride Jerry Jones and that area take in their football team, it's got to be a large group of people kind of licking their wounds this morning.
Look, if you don't watch that game and the struggle that the Cowboys were going through and think, back to life, back to reality. You have to be firmly grounded in reality, because that's what the Cowboys are facing. Like, you have to grind things out and not make these lofty expectations. I know we all thought Andy Dalton was going to do more, but I think there's so many issues with connecting the pieces together, those puzzle pieces together. And we've seen they've struggled. But more importantly, what have we seen the most? Them making mistakes. The Cowboys lead the NFL in turnovers with 15. They've lost the league high 9 fumbles. We saw Zeke struggle with that. When you sort of make things even harder for yourself, that's not going to help you. And then you insert a new quarterback, and that's not going to help you, especially when it comes to that transition. It just seems like this team needs to be reset and start with the basics, because it just didn't work out well for them.
And Chinay, as you mentioned, these are season-long accumulation of mistakes, right? Like, the Cowboys didn't just make a league-leading amount of turnovers last night. This has been going on, but the reason they've even been in half of these games is because you had an eraser in Dak Prescott and this offense that was able to make these late charges. I don't even think Andy Dalton played terribly last night. He didn't make the big-time bona fide plays that Dak is, you know, a difference maker compared to Andy in, but there were drops. There were failings in these other areas. Zach Martin, their all-world right guard, went down last night with an injury and left Connor Williams as the only remnant of their original starting five. So there's a lot going on for a team that is in first place in the division.
Don't
at
do
2-4. But I can say, believe me, you know who else is saying that? Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner and all world everything, still not satisfied despite that distinction.
I'm not in the feel-good mood, frankly, that we've been got manna from heaven, being in the East. These things have a way of evening out as we go along, and certainly the NFC East is having its challenges right now. All of that is a way of not wanting to talk about other teams. When you're not playing any better than we are, it's hard for me to look to the end game, which is to win the East, and get excited about the fact that we're better than anybody. We may be slow, but we're ahead of you syndrome. We've got to get better to have the kind of season that makes sense for us.
That sound courtesy of 105.3 The Fan. And Chinay, you can hear the disappointment in Jerry Jones, who looks at this team that he spent a lot of money on that is on the offensive side of the football up front, not out on the field or fumbling the football in the backfield, and on the defensive side can't stop a cold at this point, and is maybe having that realization that, all right, I invested in all these other areas, and yet while investing and paying Dak Prescott at the time, wasn't going to put him back on the field. That ankle injury is what is sidelining Dak right now. At the very least, you have to be looking at the long-term perspective to your team, saying, man, did I realize exactly what I have and act accordingly with the way that I was handing out paychecks?
Yeah. I think all of us sort of started realizing the importance, and I think that's what you're alluding to. Someone off the field now looking so much better, even though it seemed like a horrible situation a week ago, now you're seeing his value and his importance and how he allows there to still be a shrivel of hope. And listening to Jerry Jones, I'm just sort of like, two things stood out to me. Manna from heaven being in the NFC East. Like, that's not supposed to be said.
Yeah.
Those are two completely different things. But he's now saying a division that historically should have been one of the most competitive is now manna from heaven that it's not, one. Two, this is the kind of season that makes sense for, like, we need to go back to a season that makes sense for us. Okay, put those expectations away. Again, like I said, back to reality. We need to just find a way to make this season make sense for us. And I guess that's just Cowboys, because we saw Stephen A. and Marcus Spears, all of them having a good old time. Well, I guess maybe it's laugh through their pain or smile through their pain.
Yeah, I think in the case of Marcus Spears, our friend of the show, who, as always said, he bleeds the Cowboys and he loves that team, which means he's critical of them as anybody. You're always critical of something that you tend to love a lot in this situation. And Chiney, none of this is a new conversation around Dak Prescott. I thought they should have paid him when they had a chance earlier, and now they look at the prospect of watching him walk. I think what last night did was only heighten all of the awareness around what you did choose to pay and the areas that infect the team comparatively less than the quarterback. The whole idea was, and I guarantee, because if they had wanted to sign Dak, for every Dallas fan that's been in my mention saying they offered him plenty of money, they offered him top five money, this or that, when you are in the range of a top five quarterback, you don't got to be one of the five, you got to be in the range of a top five quarterback, you are next in line for a market-setting deal. We see that's how the league works, but because Dak wasn't a first-rounder and because they thought they had put money into all these parts around it that could make it work, they thought they knew better, and so they thought, all right, we can get by doing it this way, and we can plug and play somebody else. I'm sure they thought they weren't going to miss much of a step last night with Andy Dalton in that situation. And it's not even just about Andy. It's, again, about what do you reward inside that locker room? And for Dak, who's done everything else right, it still blows my mind. And, Chiney, you know this. Leadership, all these intangible things, people usually use them when they feel like it and then pull out the other stuff to discredit guys when it's convenient. You can't pull anything out to discredit Dak. He's been perfect for you off the field.
Which is why it hurts for us to not even realize that they were able to not even get this done. Like, if he's such a good guy and he goes by company line so well, like, why didn't you get it done? And that's why we are more frustrated with Mr. Jones. But, you know, you bring up Ezekiel Elliott, Zeke, and, you know, I just keep thinking sometimes when athletes get paid, we sort of feel like we can coast a little bit, right? And he signed, what, about a year ago, a six-year, $90 million contract extension, and yep. Now you don't have your quarterback. And you know that you need to produce because everyone's going to be looking to you as a star now in this scenario, but he's good. He's good.
He is. You know what? And what I would say to that, Chiney, is he also plays a position that's more dependent. When that line all goes away, life gets infinitely harder for Ezekiel Elliott. So much changes around him. And again, it's not that Zeke isn't good. It's that he plays a position you chose to reward heavily that affects the outcome of games far less when you run your offense through the quarterback like Dallas started doing in the last year. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. But coming up next, what should that level of concern be now in Dallas in the way that you've made your bed and been forced to sleep in? We'll ask a former pro next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We're not going to have the Houston Astros around to be everybody's villain during the World Series as it gets started tonight, but that didn't stop one former member of that team from making waves leading up to the biggest series in the season. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes here. But as we look at the NFL and some of the panic maybe going on right now in Big D, we're delighted to be joined to help break it all down by Cliff Averill, former NFL football player with us, and I saw recently named Seahawks Legend of the Year in 2020. So, Cliff, congratulations. Just walk me through that. I mean, you were a guy that spent a lot of time in Seattle, won a Super Bowl there. What did that mean for you to be named the legend for the 2020 season?
It means a lot. It means a lot. You know, a lot of family members are like, legend, like you're a living legend. I'm like, no, it's just some of the work that we do in the community, and on top of legend just means retired in the NFL. But it was definitely an honor for the Seahawks to give me that award, you know, just based on a lot of the different things that I'm doing here in the community, here in Seattle, in Jacksonville, Florida, also in Haiti, through my foundation, the Cliff Faber Family Foundation.
Cliff, that's really amazing. Congrats to you. And sticking with your Seahawks, Russell Wilson, a former teammate of yours, is thriving. Given how much, you know, more they're putting on his table and how he's been able to deliver, how have you seen Russell improve? And obviously, I assume you think he's leading candidate for MVP.
Well, yes, I definitely think he's the leading candidate for the MVP. But no, you know what's interesting with Russ is if you just look at his stats, every single year for the last 9 years, Russell Wilson has gotten better. You know, he's more efficient now. The deep ball, all these different things, he's continued to get better. And to me, honestly, it's kind of surprising that he's never gotten an MVP vote. This year, he has to get some of them. But overall, though, man, him with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, I mean, that little trio right there, there's not too many people in the NFL that can stop it. There's not too many other offenses that have those types of weapons, and he makes those boys look good.
Cliff Faber with us, former NFL defensive end and Super Bowl champion on Chiné and Golic Jr. And Cliff, one of the offenses that we expected to be able to go toe-to-toe with them is the Dallas Cowboys, but we know no Dak Prescott, and it seemed like the wheels really fell off last night in primetime for this team. I'm curious, did that change anything in your mind relative to the decision that team had made in not giving Dak Prescott a long-term extension, or was that just an example of too much injury for one team to handle?
A little bit of both, right? Obviously, the injuries play a role. You know, if you don't have anybody to protect the quarterback, I don't care if you put, you know, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, whoever back there, they're going to struggle, right? That's one. But then, two, with Dak, you know, I think him not being there actually shows how valuable he is to that organization. So the big contract that he really wanted, honestly, he might just get that because obviously he has to bounce back from the injury and different things like that, but he might get the money he wants now because, boy, you talk about that game last night, you're sitting there like, man, I don't even, like, I wanted to change the channel a few times. You know what I'm saying? Just how brutal, how bad they look, you know? So, you know, sometimes not being there shows how valuable you are to an organization, and they have to pay attention to that.
You're absolutely right. Run him his money, okay? Here with Cliff Averill, yes. Former NFL player, Super Bowl champion, Pro Bowler on Chiné and Golic Jr. Now, last night, too, on Monday, the Chiefs took down the Bills, and Kansas City's run game looks, as the kids say, starty behind Clyde Edwards-Helaire. and soon we'll be incorporating, you know, Le'Veon Bell soon. Do you consider the Chiefs to be probably the best team in the NFL, or is there another team that comes to mind?
I mean, as far as for star power and everything else, with Patrick Mahomes leading the way, I mean, it's hard to push against that notion of them not being one of the top teams in the league, if not the top team in the league. Now, I do think there are some teams that are, you know, 1B, 1C type situation, but yeah, they probably are at the top of the league right now with all the different weapons. And like I just said, Patrick Mahomes, man, you know, even though he didn't put up crazy gaudy numbers or whatever the case may be, it's just his leadership and again, the weapons that he has and how great and how easy he makes the game look. I mean, the NFL's in trouble for a while if this guy continues to play the way he is.
Cliff, I'm curious. We talked so much about them acquiring Le'Veon Bell. You obviously saw Le'Veon Bell in the league when he was in Pittsburgh during his prime, mm-hmm. doing so many great things there. What do you think he still brings to the table now? The Jets' tenure was really lackluster for a lot of reasons, but what can he do potentially in this Chiefs offense?
Well, let's talk about the Jets real quick. It's hard to look good in that uniform with the way everybody collectively, and maybe it starts with the coach. You gotta look at management first. Maybe it starts with those guys, and then you know with the players. But as far as for Le'Veon, I mean, obviously it's been 2 years since we've actually seen him do work like what we're used to seeing. And I think if he gets in the right situation, he gets in the right offense. He can still play some ball. I mean, we all love his running style. It's not orthodox. He's not a downhill, you know, run you over guy. He's a patient, wait for the gap to open up and get downhill on guys. So I think he just brings a different weapon, a different dynamic to their running game. And I do think he can be productive.
Now, Cliff, the big news of the day today was that Tua Tagovailoa is going to start instead of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, you know, obviously the timing of this is interesting considering the momentum that he had in Miami. Fitzpatrick, what do you make of this decision?
Oh, you know, I think sometimes coaches get a little antsy. You know, they want to show off that new car in the garage. And I think that's where they're at right now. You know, things are going well. You know what? Let's put the young boy in and let him carry us through the rest of the season. But that can hurt his confidence if he doesn't come out and play well, right? It can hurt how you feel about him by the end of the season instead of letting him learn under a veteran like Fitzpatrick, who seems to be the ultimate teammate, because everywhere he goes, they love him in the locker room. He's been on pretty much every team in the NFL, and everyone has loved him. So why wouldn't you let him just learn from this guy instead of trying to put him in too early? I mean, it is the bye week, and he gets a little bit more time to kind of go through this process. But I think while you have the momentum going, you got to ride that thing on out, because it's hard to win in the NFL, as Miami knows. So you got to be careful with that.
All too well. So going to be very interesting to see what they do with the guy that they've been working for, tanking for the last year or so in this process. You can follow him on Twitter at Cliff Averill, former NFL defensive end and Super Bowl champion. Cliff, we appreciate the time today, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Cliff.
No, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Awesome stuff there. It is really interesting, Chiney, that decision. And there's so many different schools of thought on what you do with a rookie quarterback. Do you get him out there right away? Like Joe Burrow, who, once they traded Andy Dalton away, they didn't really have a lot of other options there. I don't think you were going to go with any backup in that situation. And so this one, you had the luxury that you were handed in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who happened to be, you know, he yo-yos all the time. He's the yo-yo diet of quarterbacks on offense. And you were in the good version of him, and you kind of had that rolling. And they've decided to go in another direction and roll the dice with a talented rookie.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like if you're a Dolphins fan, you wake up and you're like, huh? Wait, now? Today's the day? What? But we'll see. I'm looking forward to Stu Gott's opinion on this.
It's going to be very, very interesting to check that out. So we'll get plenty more from Stu later. Our thanks to Cliff Averill for helping us out there. But coming up next, the Bad Boys are back.
Yes.
Trying to take center stage and shine away from the World Series matchup that doesn't involve the Houston Astros. We'll hear from one former member of that team next, and we'll do it after this word from DraftKings. Last week's in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. And there's no better place to get it on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings is a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. And if you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. It's simple. All you got to do, pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. And nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Download the DraftKings app now and use code CJR when you do it. For a limited time, new users are going to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. And don't miss out on the Week 7 action. Enter code CJR. Get a free shot. Millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code CJR only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Baseball's Bad Boys back after this on Chiney and Golic Jr.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Our thanks to former Super Bowl, I guess he's always a Super Bowl champion, but former NFL defensive end Cliff Averill for joining us in that last segment to break down the NFL. We will have, it's Tuesday around here, we'll have top five, bottom five for
yes.
you in the NFL. I get the top five this week, and since Chiney's usually kind of the glass half empty person on this show, we let her hold down the bottom five because that's
oh,
what
really?
You're looking for.
That's who I am. I mean, we all know you're the pessimist, I'm the optimist, but more importantly, we found out this week that you are the anarchist, and I feel like that's more on point.
That is very true. I court anarchy at every turn. Which is why I was very excited to hear from someone surrounding the Houston Astros. Chiney and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Chiney, Jeffrey Luhnow was formerly an employee and a GM for the Houston Astros. He was a part of that front office that was much maligned for a lot of reasons, but took a lot of heat for the cheating scandal. He was one of the people that is out of a job because of Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball found in their report. Well, Former Houston Astros GM Jeffrey Luhnow spoke today and again denied any wrongdoing. Here he was earlier.
I didn't know we were cheating. I had no idea. I wasn't involved. Major League Baseball's report stated that I didn't know anything about the trash can banging scheme. They stated I might have known something about the video decoding scheme and not paid it much attention, but there was really no credible evidence of that. After the investigation was over and I was fired, I got access to about 22,000 text messages that were from personnel in the video room. And it was clear from those messages that they were communicating back and forth about the rule violations. They were aware of the Red Sox and Yankees rule violations. They were aware it was wrong. And they also were using text messages to cheat on the job. I don't know why that information, that evidence wasn't discussed in the ruling, wasn't used. The people who were involved that didn't leave naturally to go to other teams are all still employed by the Astros. So I presented to Rob two pages of references, people inside of baseball at all levels, from owners to former commissioners to people that have worked with me for 16 years. And I presented them also a list of people that know me from outside of baseball in my three careers before. And I wanted him, he could have called any one of those people to ask about my integrity, my character, my honesty. And he chose not to contact any of those people. He turned down my offer to do a polygraph test. I don't know how much of the 150-page binder he read, but none of it made its way into the final report. So, frankly, he had his mind made up.
Chiney, I'm very curious because this is all going on in your backyard. Obviously, Houston, as you mentioned, Houston is a place that so celebrates and really insulates a lot of its teams, makes its stars feel very welcome. And we know this Astros organization delivered a World Series to this area. So I'm curious, as you hear this from Jeff Luhnow, does any of this change the tone or tenor of what you thought about this cheating scandal when it was going down?
Lord help me. Okay.
By the way, that sound was courtesy of KPRC-TV in Houston.
Okay, so I don't enjoy anytime someone loses their job and someone that goes to those lengths to state their case, because there's got to be a lot of, well, some form of truth to what they're saying. But when I see a big comfy couch and an expose type of vibe, it just makes me think a whole different type of way. And then earlier, I know today we got to hear from the commissioner, Rob Manfred, about his side of the story.
Yes.
And I guess it left me to be desired more after watching or hearing what he said.
Yeah, here was Rob Manfred, who joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, ahead of the World Series, having to deal with this.
The 22,000 electronic messages that Jeff talked about over and over again were a fraction of the evidence in the case. There was a lot of other evidence, electronic, testimonial, which indicated Jeff's culpability in this matter. Secondly, whether he exactly knew what was going on or not is really beside the point. After the Apple Watch incident, I wrote to all the GMs. I put them on notice that it was their obligation to make sure that their organizations were not violating any of the sign-stealing rules. I think it's pretty clear from the facts that Mr. Luhnow failed to discharge that obligation. He damaged the game, and as a result, he was disciplined.
So, Mr. Luhnow had receipts, but Commissioner had receipts.
Yeah.
When he dropped the fraction, I was like, ooh.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, baby. What are you doing?
Look, I think overall, you know, if we all knew someone was going to have to pay for what we saw happened and transpired and all those allegations, and if it's not going to be the players, it's going to be the people who put the players in the position to play. And that's what happened, and that's where he got caught up.
It falls under the category of you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. But for me, this is a tactical error. If you're Jeff Luhnow, silence would have been golden. I have a feeling the stain is going to follow everyone associated with this Astros core. Jeff Passan mentioned that yesterday. you probably would have had a chance to slide in a front off somewhere, far off somewhere eventually, had you just kept quiet in all this. But he couldn't help himself,
people.
And he got on the comfy couch, and the rest is history. All right, coming up next, we look at the top five going back to this NFL weekend and why one person in it wasn't even on the field. That's next. It's Shenangle Jr.